Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Got a couple stories here, and there was one that I thought was pretty interesting. I saw on Fox News. This was the headline. I never thought my daughter would learn this word in kindergarten. Wonder what that one word is. It got my attention. That's what they call clickbait. So they go through this whole story about the dad and the daughter and going through insults. And every once in a while, I'll ask my son about that. And I'll say, you know, when you're at preschool, any of the kids say anything or do anything mean or whatever it is. And from the most part, he's a liked kid. As far as I know, they're not being mean to him. But he, I think, knows how to handle himself. You know, and you can only handle yourself so well as a kid. There hasn't been anything that's really just slapped him upside the head that he hasn't been able to get over it. But this article kind of goes after something that was very difficult for this girl. So let me read the start of it and tell me if this makes me a bad person or not. But immediately I went online and I Google searched children insults because I wanted to know if there were other things that kids were saying. So here's the start of this story. One night, when my daughter was in kindergarten, I was putting her down to sleep, and as I was leaving the room, she says, "Daddy, a girl at school called me a mean name." "What was it?" I asked. She covered her face with her hands and said, "I don't want to say." Says, "You know you don't keep secrets." I want to know what she said. She paused, asked again, and then she quietly said, "She called me fat." Wow. Isn't that something to, and kindergarten's like, what, 6 years old? A young age to start throwing that word around at other kids. Wow. I mean, that's probably an indication of things that go around the house. That one hits hard, doesn't it? Do girls even at that age understand body shaming or things like that? Does that happen a lot at six? I figure you're pretty ignorant to a lot of these things growing up. I go back and I look at the way my parents treated me at that age, and I have photos. Oh, was I looked like basically my parents stole clothes out of a Goodwill bin or a lost and found bin. And this is what my mom always tells me. She said, when you were a kid, there wasn't a lot of options. You basically had blue or red were your two color options, solid colors, and all the boys' clothes were the same. You know, girls' clothes had some variation, but all the boys' clothes were exactly the same. Today, it's a whole different story. The way kids are dressed, they dress them like miniature adults. You can find pretty much anything for a kid. The way my son dresses, it's unbelievable. He looks like a little Sears model or something like that. Just because he's wearing these. My wife picks it all out for him, and he just looks so professional. Maybe that's the right word for it. He looks professional. If you go back and look at pictures of me when I was a kid, sure, jeans, scraggy, shaggy hair, and just basically like a black sweater with like nothing on it, or a red sweater with nothing on it. Sometimes if you got lucky, red and blue on the same sweater. Whoa, two colors. Give me something like that. Man, I'd be breaking the mold. But there wasn't really much when it comes to fashion. And I think back when I was a kid, and if other kids insulted me or made fun of me, and listen, they had a lot they could make fun of me for, I don't remember any of it. I feel like I was so blind to it that it just didn't matter. And then when I got old enough, it just didn't bother me. I guess some kids are different when it comes to that sort of thing. It's probably different when you're a girl. Do you get a lot of that at the age of six? I feel like that's just going to be the norm anymore. It's weird the way these kids interact with each other. The norm is go online. You can say hurtful things and you feel like, oh, you know, it doesn't impact anyone because it's just text on a screen. But it's very damaging. It's very hurtful. And the older the kids get, the harder it hits, I think, if they let that eat them up inside. So you know what this father did to the daughter? This is what he said, at least in this article. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this was a made-up story, but it's a nice little story. So the father asked the daughter to hold her hands open and pretend they were holding that ugly word like an object. Then they stood up, opened the curtains, and flung the word outside the window. Like you're making it go away. I guess that's pretty good, right? That's not too bad. So first thing I did, I went online and I wanted to look up children insults. I wanted to know what are some like common things, but apparently it's the other way around. I found an article from some blog, 22 words. It says 30 times kids dished out hilarious, honest insults. And maybe I can even ask you if anyone knows how to deal with this sort of thing. Do you find that a lot of kids, if you're raising kids or maybe you have grandkids, is it just brutal right now? I'd love to talk to a grandparent. Is it worse for the grandkids than you remember for your own kids when it comes to, you know, some of these hurtful things that other kids say to each other? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I know you've seen it. Is it a generational thing? Is it getting worse? Is it just being overblown the way it's being reported now? I'd like to know. Or you can text that first line, 314-436-7900. So here's a couple of insults that kids told to adults, supposedly. I think these could all be made up. I don't care. They're funny. It says, your breath smells so bad, even the dog wouldn't lick you. Here's another story. It said, my dad was singing to himself on what he thought was an empty playground when a kid told him, hey, mister, why don't you sing in a bag and take it home with you? No child says, hey, mister. That's made up, isn't it? I told a dad joke to an 8-year-old who didn't find it funny. His reply, you want to hear a good joke? Your life. Come on now. Now that's a little much. Here's another one. Why does your face look so much like a butt? I don't know. This can't be real. I wish I was a virus so I could infect you. No kids saying that. These are all adults. They're pretending that their kids told them these things. I hope Santa brings you a book of manners. Oh, man. Let's see. It says, you see that door? I want you on the other side of that door. All unthink you. All unthink you. None of these are true. These are all adults. I had some pretty good dad jokes today. We went to Jimmy John's after church. My kid loves Jimmy John's sandwiches. So we get out to Jimmy John's. I said, hey, did you see Jimmy John's is going to get into, they're starting a new company where they mow your lawn. It's called Jimmy Lawns. He thought it was hilarious. He thought that was a good one. And I said, you know, if you go into a Jimmy John's and they sell pizzas, you're probably in a Papa John's. He didn't get that one because he didn't know what a Papa John's was. But, you know, I'm good for a dad joke every now and again. I feel like it's only a matter of time until my kid starts making fun of me for the dad jokes. But I thought those were pretty good. All right. There was a couple of opinion pieces. Maybe I'll get to these next. Opinion pieces on how the DNC should handle these debates. Actually, two conflicting opinion pieces. And I want to leave things a little open for you, too. I would love to hear if you I've heard some insults from kids. How do you handle that sort of thing? I mean, sometimes you hear them and you laugh. And my wife says, you shouldn't laugh at that. And I just can't help it. 314-436-7900. It's Overnight America, KMOX. You know, it's probably harder on the parent than it is the kid half the time when it comes to these insults. Until they get older and they're really mean and they hold it in, I guess. Let's take a couple of your calls here. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Bob in Imperial. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hi, Ryan. My 5.5-year-old granddaughter, going on 13, she'll go, I'll say, now, you know, be careful because this could hurt you. She'll go, duh, I know.
Does that hurt when she says that to you?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Duh, I know.
Duh, I know.
Has she been using that line for years?
Maybe the last year.
It does. There's certain things that the kids can do to you. You're not immune to being hurt.
And she's starting with the whatever.
Oh, the whatever drives me crazy. I can't take a whatever.
I hate that.
Oh, that'll drive. That'll put me in a rage if someone tells me whatever. Ugh.
And I said, I'll show you what's ever and then chase her around the house.
I'll show you whatever. Good luck with that. You know, I feel like the best thing you can do is just embarrass them. That may be the way to get them to cut that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Thanks for that. Good to hear from you.
Okay, Ryan.
Bye. Let's go to Mark. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, how are you tonight?
Good.
Hey, back in the day, I'm a baby boomer, and I can remember back in the day, one of the most famous put-down jokes were, if my dog was as ugly as you, I'd shave his butt and teach him to walk backwards.
Just one of those deals.
Have you heard that one?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, it's been a real long time since I've heard that one.
Hey, this is one of my favorite from back in, grade school. Mm-hmm. Now stop me if you've heard this, but Gene made a machine.
No, I don't know that one. Wait, what?
Hank gave it a crank.
Okay.
JoJo made it go. Art cut a fart and blew it all apart.
Of course, it has to be revolving around that. That's the
thing. Ryan, have a great night,
hey,
my brother.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good one. Bye.
You too.
Calling in from Kansas. You know, that's funny. So in preschool, I found out that one of the kids likes to make these, you know, like fart or potty jokes and things like that. You know, when you're four, you don't really have a filter, and if it's funny, it's funny. And I found out they call it bathroom talk, and you're not allowed to talk bathroom talk when you're outside of the bathroom. And that was a good way to cut it out. My parents did that with me, not for bathroom talk, but this is what my parents said. If I ever heard a dirty word, you know, my parents swore. We're very careful of what's being said around our kid, but sometimes you can't help it. You're out somewhere else and they'll hear something on accident. Not, you know, my wife doesn't swear. I don't swear. We don't say dirty things, but it's naturally, all it takes is them to hear one thing that sounds dirty, and boy, do they grab onto it. Luckily, we haven't really had any of those moments. We've heard, using the Lord's name in vain. You know, he heard that once, and then we had to, teach him not to do that. But my parents said, when I caught on to something, they made a rule, which was you're only allowed to swear in your bedroom. So if you want to say a dirty word, you go to your room, you close the door, you say it as many times as you want, but when you leave that room, don't you dare say a swear word. So my mom said I would go into my room, I'd close the door and cuss up a storm like a sailor, and then I would be all done. She would hear me in there pouting and stomping and saying all the kind of like on the Christmas Story where the dad goes downstairs to work on the furnace and all you hear is and you know that he's saying all these dirty things. That's how my mom said I was. Just go in my room and do that. Oh, John calling in from Illinois. Hey, John, what's going on?
Good morning. Did you hear about the Ever Ready bunny?
No.
He got arrested for battery.
Aw, John. Do you have a bunch of dad jokes, standby dad jokes?
Well, some of them, yeah, because of my age, they might call them dad jokes, but I don't have kids, so I can't pawn them off on anybody.
So you really, they're not technically dad jokes. They're just, they're just bad jokes at that point.
Well, that's the kind of one-liners I have.
Yeah, I get it, though. Do you come up with your own a lot?
I try to. I had there was a Vietnam-era munitions called the cluster bomb.
Okay.
And you know how the kids have changed the name around a little bit?
No.
Well, they've changed bomb to a certain other four-letter word.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay. Well, I taught that to my elderly mother recently.
Oh, no.
And she loves it because she talks about having a CF day.
Oh, no, she does not. So she's in on it, too.
Well,
she wants
she
in.
She doesn't say the word. She just says the initials.
Oh, I see. How old is she?
Well, let's put it this way. 10 more years and she'll be triple digit.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah.
And she still has a sense of humor like that. How about that?
Yep.
Wow. Hey, thanks, John. Good to hear from you. Wow. Good old dad jokes. Every once in a while, I'll just pop over to Reddit and I'll see if I can find some dad jokes. Like, here's a dad joke. 6:30 is the best time on the clock. Hands down. Ow! a time traveler walks into a bar. These are so bad. What type of overalls does Mario wear? Denim, denim, denim. It's so bad. All of these are bad jokes, but I love them so much. You know, I actually was going to play the Mario theme song. I didn't get a chance to. You know what yesterday was? I should have mentioned this in the last hour when it still technically was March 10th. It's March 11th now. But March 10th is a special day. It's Mario Day, because if you look at the abbreviation for March in the number 10, it's M-A-R, the number 1 and 0. But it looks like Mario. Isn't that kind of cool? What a great theme song. What's nice about Mario is that it's pretty easy to play the newer Mario games. It's very easy for you to just like go through, and it's self-explanatory. You just kind of go from one side to another, and it's so much less complicated than a lot of the other video games that are out right now. So every once in a while, I'll bring up the Nintendo and play with the kid. He likes to play a little Mario. What a great theme song. You know, it's quite amazing. If you go back and you look at some of these video game designers and what they had to jam onto a Nintendo cartridge, it is remarkable they were able to fit all of this, because there was no space on these things compared to today, where you have endless amount of space. They had to figure out how to jam so much onto these things, and they only had certain techniques they can use. It's really remarkable. Even a song like this. In order to get a song like this together, I mean, they had to do things that were never being done. What an iconic song, seriously. All right, maybe we'll do this. And I was going to bring this up. You see how the DNC, they put a notice out and they said, we're not going to do any debates on Fox News. The DNC chairperson went out to MSNBC and said, nope, no thanks, we're going to pass. And there was two opinion pieces that were on Mediaite. One was a modest proposal. DNC should invite Fox News journalists to moderate debate on MSNBC. Yeah, right. Why would the Fox hosts, they're on the number one cable network. They are the top personalities of the cable networks. Why in the world would they say, you know, we're going to skip our show for the night and we're just going to go do something for you instead? Yeah, no thanks. That doesn't make sense, but that's what one opinion piece online on Mediaite pointed out. Said Fox News has made a big show of defending their real journalists. Nate, the opinion writer, put this in quotes. From the DNC's decision to ban the network from hosting debates, so Democrats should call their bluff and invite those Fox journalists to participate in debates at other networks, including MSNBC. It doesn't really work like that. You know, every once in a while, you'll see crossovers if it's radio and TV or TV and radio, because they're not direct competitors. But you're not going to see someone that are direct competitors going out and helping each other. Or then again, you're not going to see the top rated personalities on a network leave their network to go to a lesser network in order to help them raise their own credibility bar. You're not going to see that. It doesn't make sense either. So it's not like you're going to be calling a bluff. It's just stupid. Why would they do that? And ultimately, the DNC put Fox News at a huge advantage. If they're just going to skip their presidential debates and not be on that network, you know what that essentially gives Fox? A free pass to do whatever they want. You know, there is no way anyone from the DNC is going to have a rebuttal on Fox. None of them are going to be able to come out and tell their side. None of them are going to be able to give their opinion. It's only going to be Fox's depiction of their opinion. So whatever Fox's impressions are of those, that's going to become the truth to that Fox audience, the most watched cable network audience. And by the way, voters. So DNC, I think that was a dumb move by them to say, we're going to skip out on the top network with the top personalities, and we're just going to let them tell our story for us. I thought that was such a boneheaded move. But you never know. Maybe they're just afraid. Maybe they don't want to have questions that would be difficult for them to answer, because they wouldn't answer them anyway. Maybe they just couldn't handle it. Yeah. The DNC protecting the candidates because they just can't handle it. Remember, they're too soft. You know, there was another piece. So there was two opinion pieces. The other one from Mediaite, an immodest proposal, says Trump should refuse to do CNN debates. Now, how do you think that would go? I mean, CNN does the town hall meetings already. If it gets to the point where it's the presidential debates, then I think you have to. I mean, you don't have to like go to a specific network. You can just host the debates and all the networks carry them. That's just how it works. So let's say the Republicans are, I don't know what the president's going to be able to do at that point. I guess if he had a competitor, someone that was running up against him, I haven't really heard of any Republican that wants to run up against Donald Trump. But you know, there, I guess there could be an independent or something like that. And maybe they host some debates or whatever. I guess you can skip CNN at that point. I mean, I just don't see that happening. You don't really see the person in office doing debates. You know, you have everything to lose if you're the president of the United States, so you just kind of like sit out. But either way, let's go back to that first proposal. You think it would be a good idea for, let's say, a Sean Hannity to hop over and do a debate on MSNBC? Maybe someone likes the idea. I don't know. Do you think that's the way to mend some of the hurt between the networks? Or just news discussions in general or opinion in general? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. KMOX 1235 here in St. Louis, Missouri, live with you through the overnight hours. So let's take some of your calls. And the debates for the Democrats, the DNC chairman came out and said, I think we're going to skip Fox News. Tom Perez is his name. So some opinion writers are throwing the idea out. You know what? Why doesn't MSNBC just invite over the Fox host to, you know, to say, look at that. We can act civil together. I think Fox would be silly to do that. Let me get a couple of your calls, and we'll talk about, in general, the DNC blocking out Fox. James in St. Louis, what's going on?
Hi. I'm not a Trump supporter, but at the same time, I feel like the DNC is making a mistake by not going ahead and debating on Fox News. I think that it's an excellent idea, actually, to do it. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of debates. Look at how many candidates that the Democrats have put forward so far. I mean, there's going to be as many Democrat candidates as there were Republicans in the last election. There's going to be a lot of debates because I'm sure they'll have a secondary stage like the Republicans did. There's going to have a lot of opportunities. So, I mean, why wouldn't they want to be on that big audience?
Well, you know? I think there's a reluctance on the part of the DNC. Because of some of the ties that between Fox News Network and the Trump administration, but I also think that some of them probably should be afraid. And there's a lot for me. There's a lot of framing of questions that goes on when they do them, and I wish they would just ask more plain questions instead of framing everything. And I think that for some of the candidates, they probably don't want to be on there because they probably fear how the questions will be framed and whether or not they'd be able to answer them appropriately.
Well, let me ask you this and see if you agree with this or not. Many of the interviews that these Democrat candidates go into, they get softball questions and they're treated differently than if they were someone that was more asking tougher questions. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, but I also agree that Fox throws softballs to right-wing candidates.
Okay, but which network do you think brings on more of the other side, CNN, MSNBC, or Fox?
Well, I gotta be honest. I don't watch Fox much anymore.
Okay.
I used to, and I don't watch it anymore. So I wouldn't be able to really accurately answer that how they do.
Okay,
I feel that CNN. I do watch CNN. I do watch MSNBC. I feel like CNN is more down the middle than MSNBC is. And I really wish they'd give the debates back to the League of Women Voters, to be honest.
Okay. All right, James, good to hear from you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Yeah, I feel like from the monitoring of the networks, Fox likes to bring on people on the other side because they like the confrontation. They like to bring on people, and they like ones that are sensational, and they like to have that explosive moment, those gotcha moments, and those guests always welcome on people from other sides to debate them on their ideas. And I don't think you see that. I don't think the DNC wants to be challenged. They don't want to have to answer hard questions. They don't want to have to deal with the loaded questions. And you know what? If they've been, think of these candidates that go into these interviews on these friendly networks all the time. None of them treat them with tough questions. They always treat them with these kid gloves. What do you think would happen if they were forced to explain themselves for once, or actually have to put some sort of defense into some of their own beliefs when they're not challenged on these other networks? I mean, I feel like they're afraid. I do. Jeff calling in from Ferguson. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's the weekend, other than that bat incident?
Oh, the bat was crazy. Other than that, I feel like it was okay. I got just a little bit of work done around the house. Had a good church service earlier, so yeah, it was pretty good.
I sent you some Father Day-type jokes. It's in a video. It's towards the end of the video segment. Yeah. I sent you the details on how to access it. But anyway,
yeah.
The thing with the debates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are Democrats choosing their own person to run in their party. So I really don't see how they're missing out on the Fox.
Oh, so like based on how they gave preferential treatment to Hillary Clinton, they kind of rigged the system because they knew they wanted her to be the candidate. Why does it even matter if they do these debates? They already have someone they're going to
like. Well, not so much the debates, but going on Fox News, if these are just Democrats choosing their own person to run against Trump.
Yeah.
In the primaries. Now, in the general, that's going to be a little different, but...
You think that's going to happen again? You think they'll have someone they really like and they're going to stack the deck into one person's hands?
They might. I mean, they're all pretty much the same. Right now, they're all pretty much the same. They're all left pretty much...
That's the thing.
Left-wing socialist. Yeah. So it's going to be who's going to be more...
For them.
Right now.
For the last election, they looked at a Hillary Clinton and they said, this is our absolute best chance. You know, we have Bernie Sanders. Someone said this online, and I thought it was the funniest thing. Don't trust someone that combs their hair with a balloon. I thought that was hilarious. So you had Bernie Sanders, who had this big following, but still they completely alienated that and ignored that. And there wasn't any other real candidate outside of those two. I mean, they had a couple of other ones, but they're. I mean, you had Tim Kaine as your running mate. No one knew who Tim Kaine was, and people still don't know who Tim Kaine is. So, you know, nothing impressive there. Completely different this time around.
Yeah, and they're all pretty much running on the same thing right now for the Democrat side, and I don't really see a big loss on Fox for losing out on the primary.
Oh, okay.
That primary.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Good night.
David calling in from Georgia. David, what's going on?
Hey, it's rose planting weather down here. I don't know if it's gotten that way up there.
What's your temperature right now?
A couple of hours ago, it was low 60s.
Ooh, and this is outside of Georgia. Or, excuse me, outside of Atlanta. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And I think it's supposed to get down into the high 30s at night in the next couple of nights.
I got you. Okay.
We may have gotten past our hard freeze period for the winter.
Okay. So what's going on?
I have had friends of mine tell me I'm the only person they know that listens to NPR and conservative talk radio.
Okay. You know, David, I don't mind NPR. I think they get a bad rap until I happen to listen to it every once in a while driving in. And they'll put on these really opinionated, but they make it sound like news programming at night. But, you know, for the most part, I don't mind NPR.
Yeah, they are pretty utilitarian. And here, the NPR station actually has BBC news on overnight. That puts every American news programming to shame.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But what I've noticed is for years, you get two different slants on the same story from the left media and the right media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and another friend of mine does similar kind of listening, and we don't get slants on the same story that the left and the right media will not even cover a certain story. You'll hear one slant on one side, and the story doesn't even exist to the other side.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
You're at a loss for what the reality is.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Well, because we see it with individual selection of news stories already. So the DNC is basically doing the equivalent of that. You know, that's fascinating, David. I never really thought of it that way.
It's pretty strange. Yeah. But it's the time we live in.
It is the time we live in. Good to hear from you, David. Thanks for calling in.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that line was a little weird. Maybe it's because it's warmer in the Atlanta area. I can hear the heat coming through his phone. I feel warmer in the studio right now. I do. We can take some of your text messages. We got a couple more calls. 314-436-7900. Or you can call 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I always enjoy getting calls from Tom up in Ohio. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Good morning, Ryan. Oh, by the way, it's 010.
010?
O-H.
Oh, it's
if you,
O.
If you can call March 10th Mario,
yeah,
then it's 010. Hey, this past week, a couple things got to me, and then the week before, well, actually a continuation of something from before, that whole Jeffrey Smollett situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what? It's interesting. Now, there's like 16 counts against him, but I never heard the word hate crime charged on him, and it should be.
Yeah, I think so. I think he was trying to...
Because he definitely went out of his way to say that a white person, a white man, accosted him.
Yeah, part of the hoax was it was race-related, and he made up all of this stuff, and according to this indictment, they agree. Yeah, if you're going to go that far down the road and you make race a part of it, and he goes on all of these interviews and saying they did it because of the color of his skin, to me that sounds like he perpetrated a hate hoax, and that should be in the that should be part of what he's charged with.
Exactly. The other thing, you notice how this congressional reprimand for the Muslim woman that was making statements about Jewish people went completely around and included. I mean, they should have just said, we're not going to tolerate hatred or bigotry for straight white males, non-Hispanic, non-minority religion. Because they include everything else in there.
Yeah, and you know what? People still cheer. I don't understand that when it comes to these anti-Semitic remarks in the Democrat Party right now. Sometimes they're fast to say that's not what we stand for. But why are they slow when it comes to something like this? I don't get it. And the networks don't even cover it. I don't think outside of Fox News you even heard it.
Well, you're probably right about that. But, I mean, you know, what I'm getting at is, and I'm tying this in, too, to a comment from David Brooks I heard yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that played a conservative on PBS whenever they'd have...
played a conservative, you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, supposedly he was the representative of the conservative side, but if you ever listen to his arguments, they were milquetoast at best.
Yeah.
And then he became a total Obama. He should go ahead and run. And now he's saying that blacks should have reparations.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, we're coming up on 50 years. Mm-hmm. 50 years of EEOC. Not civil rights. Civil rights was 64, so that's actually 54 coming up on 55 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
But what it did is say that, you know, we're gonna take white males of today and hold them responsible for what happened generations and hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how you do that, especially when, I can look at my own family ancestry, and on my mother's side of the family, they weren't even in the country until 1900.
Mm.
And they were Catholic, so, you know, Catholics and Italians, there were signs all over the place, need not apply for jobs, and an Irish need not apply.
Yeah.
And that's the other side of my family. And the family that was in this country at the time on my father's side fought for the North in the Civil War, and I trace back too that as far as my ancestors that were here, you know, even back to the 1812, they didn't have much. So they didn't have slaves. They didn't, you know.
Well, I don't know why this sort of idea comes back and recycles itself every 10 years or whatever. It just seems like we have some very social-leaning people in Congress that sometimes the voice gets a little bit louder. But I wanted to go back to one other thing you said here because I looked it up real quick. Sure. Do you ever go to Newsbusters as a website? The MRC, the Media Research Center?
I don't have the internet, so...
They're excellent at looking at the way different news agencies handle different stories. I wanted to mention this to you real quick. So after this vote that happened, Apparently, ABC World News, and we're talking about the vote that was sparked by the pretty terrible comments from Congresswoman Omar in Minnesota. The House passed a resolution to condemn hate and bigotry in all forms. ABC World News tonight chose to not even mention it on their program after that bipartisan vote went through. CBS Evening News with Jeff Glor, let me read you how they framed this vote. Okay, this is how they framed it. You tell me if this represents the what Congresswoman Omar in her sentiments. It says, late today, the House overwhelmingly approved an anti-hate resolution. This was sparked by recent comments by freshman Democrat Omar, who suggested that Israel supporters in the U.S. have split loyalties. That's how they framed it as part of their news. Tell me that's not deceptive.
Well, even that's deceptive, but equally, if not more so deceptive, was a reprimand that went all the way around and said, we're not going to tolerate hatred or bigotry towards, and they went right down the whole list, Pacific Islanders and people from Guam and, mm-hmm. Everything. And then even, the whole alphabet soup of LGBTQ, WXYZ, and all that. And like I said, you might as well just say we're not going to tolerate it for anybody except for straight white males. Which, by the way, and this is another thing, that is the only instance of government sanctioned segregation, discrimination. I mean, since the Civil Rights Act was passed, it's against straight white males. Again, that are non-Hispanic. In fact, I don't even know if you could really if you broke down how many people it actually affects. You're probably not even talking a majority, because females get preferences, minorities get preferences, and so if you took, I don't know what the white population is in this country, and I'm talking about white non-Hispanic, and then you break that down into 51% female and 49% male, and then you bring it down even further from the standpoint of the portion that would be straight and be of religions that wouldn't be affected, and so it's probably not even a majority of people that are affected that way. So I guess what I'm getting at is that there's such hypocrisy here. And when David Brooks started talking about reparations, I really think the straight white males ought to get reparations because okay. this is ongoing.
We've seen that too, even here in St. Louis. I actually saved a screenshot of it once. Hold on, I think I still have it saved on our desktop. It was one of our local representatives brought up reparations when Chappelle Nadal, local representative here in the region, posted a photo of Claire McCaskill. We want reparations. Now, keep in mind, Claire McCaskill was the at the time the Democratic senator here in Missouri, but she was voted out. But even then, there was pressure on her to give into it. It's been there for a long time. All right, Tom, we got to go.
One last thing, real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Okay. Affirmative action and quotas and so forth were necessary for probably about the first 15, 20 years in order to show that women and minorities could do certain jobs and break the stereotypes and put some of them into those jobs. That was totally undermined by the fact that anybody coming off the boat into this country who fit those same categories were also then eligible, and for minority preferences for jobs and business loans and government set asides for minority businesses and education and everything else. So the first thing we ought to consider, and ought to be immediate, is anybody who was not here prior to such and such a date, and anybody that comes since afterwards to this country, even if they're a minority, you're still going to be able to appeal discrimination and so forth, but you're not going to be able to get the perks, the bennies that the white males aren't able to get.
When do you, just out of curiosity, this line of thinking and the way that you're coming up with this, is there anything that sparked that? Anything that you watched or saw that made you?
No, just the three things, just the three things together. Not hearing that it was called a hate crime.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The whole situation, the way they went out of their way to include every single group, but, the only thing they didn't include was straight white males. And then the fact, like I said, David Brooks coming out, and that was just the tipping point.
Okay. All right, Tom, thanks.
Yeah, it's put me in mind for the reparations here.
All right, bye.
Take care, Ron.
Wow, Tom, he's not afraid to go out there and say what's on his mind that way now, is he? Another hour of Overnight America is going to continue when we come back. You can also sound off on Twitter. If you know you got that social media bug, at Ryan Recker, you could follow me and interact that way. Or if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/overnight. Not Tom, because he doesn't have the internet. KMOX.com/overnight. If you do have the internet, you can actually download it on your favorite podcast app as well.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.